Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, the 20th of June. Teachers in more and more communities around the country are getting bonuses for their job performance. This merit pay is given to them for different reasons. For example, if a teacher's would raise their students' achievement, then they would get a monetary bonus too. This hour, our guest talks about how this idea is spreading throughout the country and whether it might happen here in Wisconsin too. And we wonder what you think about merit pay for teachers. Do you think giving teachers merit pay is a win-win situation for teachers and students? Would this improve a teacher's ability to teach? Or do you think teachers should do their job well regardless of merit pay? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email with your question or comment to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We are happy to have with us Alan Odden. He's a professor of educational leadership and policy research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is co-director of the Consortium for Policy Research in Education in the Wisconsin Center for Education Research. And he was quoted in the New York Times the other day in an article on this issue. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being with us. It says here that in the New York Times article that you actually, all of that means that you study teachers' compensation. Is that right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And we've been studying that for about 15 years.
So why is this idea of merit pay gaining momentum?
Well, in part because of the high performance pressures that have been put on the public school systems. Just like the private sector, when it began to get performance pressures in the 80s and 90s, began to restructure how they paid their workers, similar kinds of actions are now beginning in school systems as well.
Yeah. And the article talked about how I think they were focusing in on what Minnesota does to a great extent. Is Minnesota doing something unique?
Yes. Mm. Minnesota is running the largest experiment in the country. It was it's allocated or made available about $80 million for local school districts to design a variety of new forms of compensation for teachers, from rewards for improving their knowledge and skills to new kinds of performance assessments, rewards for engaging in more effective professional development, as well as bonuses for improved student learning.
Yeah. So it's not just if the student does better, the teacher gets a bonus. It's all sorts of things.
It's all sorts of things. They're trying to change the current pace, the salary structure, and the salary schedule, as well as provide bonuses for a variety of, on the basis of a variety of factors, yes.
Well, I read that one of the reasons some teachers or teachers' unions were, not so excited about merit pay was they thought it would encourage teachers to teach to the test if the student performance was based on test scores.
Well, there's good news and bad news in that, and that is that one of the things that bonus programs do that are based on improved student achievement on various tests of academic performance is they do clarify what the core goals of the system are. And when we studied those issues in Kentucky, in North Carolina, and in Charlotte-Mecklenburg in Maryland, what we found was that that was a somewhat of a relief for teachers, because they are buffeted by pressures to do all kinds of things. And these bonus plans say, first of all, make sure that the kids are taught and achieve in reading and mathematics and science and history. And then if there's energy and resources left over, also put as much attention into all the other subjects.
We're talking about merit pay for teachers and the trend that seems to be going on. There seems to be a growing momentum around the country for paying teachers with bonuses for good performance or improving student performance. We wonder what you think about the idea of merit pay for teachers, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you think this is a good idea or not? And do you think Wisconsin should take part in this trend? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're tuned to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 16 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, June the 20th. Coming up this afternoon at 3 o'clock here on Earth, Radio Without Borders with Jean Faraca, does language influence thought? Jean and her guest will explore how native speakers of distinct languages perceive the world. That's coming up after 3 o'clock. We're talking about why more and more states are experimenting with giving teachers merit pay. These bonuses are given for raising student achievement and for reaching other goals, and we are talking with a guest about why this idea has growing momentum. Alan Odden is a professor of educational leadership and policy research at UW-Madison, and we welcome your thoughts and questions for him about this trend and whether or not you think merit pay for teachers is a good idea. Should teachers get bonuses for student performance and other things? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Before we go to the phones, Professor Odden, what's the situation in Wisconsin? Wisconsin does not participate in any of these merit pay programs or experiments?
Well, first a comment, and that is that in the education arena, people really don't like the label merit pay. People really like to talk about it as a new way to pay teacher, professional pay, performance pay, but merit pay tends to put people off. But yes, there have been several experiments in Wisconsin. Plymouth tried a different approach to paying teachers. Manitowoc, about 10 years ago, started a plan to pay teachers to acquire instructional skills that were linked to higher levels of student learning. And they partnered with the University of Wisconsin in Green Bay. Greendale has experimented, as has Sun Prairie. And the state provides incentives, bonuses to teachers who earn certification from the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards, which certifies that teachers' instructional skills meet a high and rigorous standard of effectiveness. And we also have our state union, WEAC, has sponsored seminars and discussions of this issue, and I think would be open to experiments in a sense like those that occurred in Minnesota, where the teachers and the union and the administration designed these new approaches together.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm looking at what do the critics say of these ideas, though?
Well, one criticism is focused largely on so-called merit pay or a bonus program that would be given for the improvements of an individual teacher's student's performance. And what they say is that might create dissension within schools and not foster the kind of collaboration and cooperation that is typical of schools that are most effective in producing student learning. There's also some skepticism about whether systems like this can be done in fair and reliable ways. And because the history of merit pay or new ways to pay teachers in the U.S., let's say from 1950 to 1990, was failure of efforts about every 10 years because there weren't tools to do this fairly and reliably. That kind of history, that knowledge of kind of failed attempts has stuck around. But in the last 15 years, we've developed new ways of testing, new ways of analyzing student growth, new ways of actually measuring the level of effectiveness of a teacher's instructional practice. And it's these new tools and these new instruments that I think are facilitating many of these new efforts to engage in a new way to pay teachers, but in ways that are reliable and fair, even though they're still controversial.
Let's take some calls. Ed in Janesville is first. Hi, Ed.
Hi, my name is Ted.
I'm sorry, Ted.
That's okay, Joy. I'm a former high school teacher. I taught in Brooklyn, New York for 4 years, and I personally see a whole host of problems with merit pay. However, a serious problem, I taught in a very difficult school in a violent neighborhood, and the teachers were a combination of young, eager, enthused teachers and teachers who had burned out. The more experienced teachers who had a lot of expertise, they sought jobs in schools that had a lot less stress. And I think it would be a good idea to offer increased compensation in difficult schools to lure the more experienced teachers so that they don't go for the less stressful jobs in the better school districts, and you can get the quality teachers in the more difficult schools to serve the kids who need the most expert instruction.
Professor Auden?
That's a very good idea. One innovation in pay that we haven't discussed so far are incentives for exactly what Ted identified, for teachers to move into difficult schools or schools with high concentrations of student poverty or schools where there's been historic low improvement. That's also something that's happening around the country, as well as incentives for teachers to go into subjects where it's hard to recruit and retain teachers, like mathematics, science, and special education. Those incentives mean that some teachers will be paid more than other teachers, but they reflect the labor market for teachers, and it's a very, very good proposal.
Thank you, Ted, for the call. Liz in Plover is with us now. Hi, Liz.
Hi, good morning. First of all, let me start by saying I really am not well-read at all in this issue, so maybe my comment won't fly. But in the business world, we've always worked with merit increases. The phrase, what gets measured gets done. And never is it a carte blanche that everyone in the company has the same goals. So why couldn't it be set up in a merit format with each teacher having specific goals individually for their classroom as well as for the school and then for the school district or areas like that?
Mm-hmm. Professor Auden?
Those are all possibilities. There are several experiments doing exactly that around the country. And what they usually do is if they're going to have a bonus program, they first identify school-wide targets for improved performance so that the school as a whole would need to have their kids do better in reading or mathematics and science. And then some places are, in addition, experimenting with individually targeted incentives. Again, one of the problems with individually targeted incentives, let's just say you're doing incentives in reading and mathematics, you only have test scores for teachers, for students that would make only about a third of the teachers in the school district eligible. So if you had such a program, two-thirds of the teachers wouldn't have a possibility of getting them, aside from any other technical or political problems. But those are being tried in several districts around the country, and we'll see how they fare over time. The individual targeted bonus programs are the most controversial. And so if the objective is to mobilize all the faculty in a school or all the faculty in a district to improve student performance in the core subjects, districts probably on the political strategy side would be advised not to pick out the most controversial element to get that mobilization off the ground, but to pick other strategies that will enhance the mobilization. And then when you get that mobilization going and up and running, then maybe to try other more individually targeted incentives.
Mm-hmm. Professor Auden, how do you, determine a raise for a teacher based on good performance if it's not on student test scores?
Well, what you want to do in compensation is pay, I would say, think about the monthly check that is kind of predictable month in and month out. And you want to design how you provide pay increases for that monthly check to kind of pay for the human assets that you need to run the organization effectively. And in education, that's instructional skills, instructional knowledge and skills. It's kind of what teachers know in their subject area and what the level of their kind of pedagogical or instructional practice is. That we have instruments that can measure teachers' instructional practice to about four levels
of performance based on effectiveness. And so one idea is to change or to modify the salary schedule that it determines the monthly check to use some measure of knowledge and skills to provide the primary pay increases rather than just years of experience and or education units and degrees. In most cases, test scores, and it's usually improvements or gains in test scores, are used to provide what's called a bonus or a variable pay. So there's a distinction between the base pay program and what you need to do to earn increases over time, and bonus programs, which tend to be based on organizational performance or improvements in student learning.
Next, we go to John in Lansing, Iowa. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. From Iowa and throughout the rest of the country, with the merit pay, we take and see a lot of students that are falling through the cracks. And that also means that there's teachers that are not performing either. And as hard as it is to remove those bad teachers, we get such a big resistance from the word merit pay because, like that one gal ahead of me talked about in the business world, with long comes merit pay, also long comes maybe you're not doing your job, you're done. So comment on that issue, please.
Well, Iowa tried, and I think is still working on, or maybe it's not anymore, a new salary structure for teachers based on four levels of performance as measured by the score on an assessment of a teacher's instructional practice. And it started in 2000, just when kind of the national recession hit, so it has been difficult to fund it. And the goal there was to really raise salaries for all teachers, but also in rural areas where there had been very little salary progression. In terms of having teachers maybe lose their job or not having students fall between the cracks, what that shows is that changing pay is not just a change that's isolated in and of itself, but it may affect other elements of the overall management of the human resource system in education, and it would be part of a performance management system. So you're managing the system to get higher performance for the organization, which is student achievement in education, and you're also trying to manage the acquisition and deployment of knowledge and skills on the part of all your employees. And what you want to do is you want to identify and retain and promote those employees, teachers, who have the kinds of skills you need, which would be an instructional expertise. And if in some cases there are those that don't acquire them, then they need to be replaced with other people who do have those skills.
We're talking with Alan Odden. He's a professor of educational leadership and policy research at UW-Madison, co-director of the Consortium for Policy Research in Education at the Wisconsin Center for Education Research. We're talking with him about this growing trend around the country where more and more states are experimenting with giving teachers bonuses for raising student achievement or reaching other goals, talking about this performance pay or merit pay, and we'll continue after the news. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Wednesday, June the 20th. We are talking about why merit pay or performance pay for teachers, once very much opposed by unions and teachers, is gaining popularity and momentum, and that states across the country are experimenting with programs or giving teachers bonuses for things like raising student achievement or reaching other goals. We're talking with Alan Odden, a professor of educational leadership and policy research at UW-Madison, about why this idea is catching on and whether it will catch on anymore in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him.
There's a big article in the New York Times this week talking about how this idea is catching on, how Minnesota has an $86 million teacher professionalization and merit pay initiative program. This month, the program was voted to spread the program to Minneapolis as well. But it says here also, Professor Odden, that some plans are still running into strong opposition, like in Texas and Florida this year. So what's the problem in some states and not problems in other states?
What happened in Houston, Texas, and in Florida, it was a statewide plan in Florida, was that the district, Houston, and then the state, Florida, imposed a bonus program that was targeted to individual teachers, the most complicated and the most controversial plan, and it was designed sort of in secret and then laid out for the teachers, and the teachers responded negatively. As Governor Tim Pawlenty in Minnesota said in the Times article, what he did is he partnered with the teachers and with educators to design what they called quality compensation, or QCOM. And he argued that it's much better to kind of partner and design these new approaches together, and that really maximizes the likelihood that the program will be accepted and tried by a number of places, and that's been the case in Minneapolis. And the controversy that you had in Florida is an example of what happens oftentimes when you pick the most controversial piece and impose it on teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that the new Republican governor, Crist, in Florida, with the legislature, rescinded the STAR program there, and it's now going to be redesigned in some other format.
And I'm looking at something on the WEAC website from just last month, commenting on the various education provisions in Governor Doyle's state budget plan that Joint Finance voted on recently, and it was acting as though the merit pay program that was being discussed in Wisconsin was anti-education, saying that on an 8-8 party line vote, the committee turned back an effort by Republicans to create a performance-based merit pay pilot program for teachers. It was like WEAC didn't like this idea.
Well, I'm not quite sure what that particular program was, but what I do know in Wisconsin is there are really kind of two big issues that probably should be fixed before we start on a statewide plan to change the way we pay teachers. And I chaired for the past 2.5 years a large task force on revising the Wisconsin school finance system. The two things that need to be changed first are to bring into alignment our revenue limit situation, which limits the amount of new money a district can spend, and what's called this qualified economic offer, that is the increased compensation for teachers. Right now, the revenue limit is about a 2.5% rise, and the QEO is 4%. So what happens every year is wages and salaries and compensation rise 4%, revenues rise 2.5%, and programs are cut. Those two numbers have to be brought into alignment so that the same number. The second big issue in Wisconsin is to adequately fund the schools, and we had a proposal to do that, and it's been discussed by several people in the legislature. We asked our task force, which was comprised of state business and political and education leaders, if in this work on school finance adequacy, we also should make proposals for changing the way teachers are paid. We devoted a whole session to that. And they advised us at this point not to do that because it raises a school finance adequacy raises a whole series of complex issues which are difficult to handle, and changing the way teachers are paid would be another whole plate load of issues. And they said it's too much to deal with at the same time. So I think the best Wisconsin strategy is to bring the QEO and the revenue limit into alignment, to work on the school finance structure, and when those get fixed, and hopefully that will be done in the next 2 years, then work on the teacher pay issue. And again, like the governor in Minnesota and the teacher union, in partnership and cooperation with all parties.
We'll go back to the phones, and Pam in Platteville is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, and I'll take my comments off the air. I just wondered if the merit pay can really work as a motivator unless you change layoff language. In most school districts, layoff language goes by seniority. It has nothing to do with the quality of the teacher. I've been teaching in a school district for 16 years. I'm laid off to part-time. The person ahead of me, who was hired a year before me, is full-time. And I just wonder if the merit pay can really motivate teachers if they're in a county with lower enrollments, facing cuts. Teachers are more worried about job security and retaining some health insurance and some salary rather than maybe a $1,000 bonus check. So could you please comment on layoff language and how that affects merit pay being a motivator? Thank you.
Thanks. Professor Otto.
Yeah, there's really two kinds of answers. The first one is that the entire human resource system in education is, needs to be redesigned. That if you're going to have, if our goals are dramatically to dramatically improve student performance, and to do that, we need teachers to have many more effective and more powerful instructional strategies. The system needs to redesign how it recruits teachers, how it trains teachers, how it inducts teachers into the system, how it deploys teachers across schools, what its professional development programs are, what its evaluation programs are, and what it pays teachers to do, and how and what are the bases for increased pay as well as bonus pay. It's all of those systems, and that includes the layoff issue that this person identified. And what school districts and all high-performance organizations try to do is they try to manage the acquisition and the development and the deployment of these human assets, which would be instructional expertise in education, to get the job done. And the old systems, our current salary schedule, our current recruiting systems, our current layoff systems, were really designed 50 years ago, and they were okay for that era, but they're really out of whack. They're not aligned with this performance kind of era that we're currently in. So, yes, that would need to be redesigned as well as the whole human resource management system.
Next, we go to Ernest in Hayward. Hi, you're on the air.
Besides student testing, how about also basing performance tests or performance pay based on parental preference? For example, within a PTA, teachers could be available to discuss with parents their teaching methodology, for example, more student involvement, or their philosophy. Some parents might want to choose a creationist.
Hmm. Well, I think what I would argue is the best way to respond to parent preferences would be to have some kind of choice system in education rather than to kind of laser in on providing teacher salary increases for the preferences for various things that parents might have, like creationism. What I would say just on that issue is that the state has a set of science standards. It's a public education system, and the state is saying that this is the kind of science that we want taught in the school system. And so that if you attend a public school, that's the science you're going to get. You're not going to get the science that a parent may or may not want. Some places, though, have tried to do broader surveys of parent satisfaction with the school. And oftentimes that can be an element, it's usually a small element, in a bonus program that there might be that is provided on the basis of school-wide parent satisfaction with the school.
We're talking about merit pay or performance pay for teachers. Should teachers be rewarded with bonuses or raises for improving student achievement, for working in lower-income schools, or maybe for teaching subjects that are hard to staff? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. More and more states are experimenting with giving teachers merit pay or these bonuses, Minnesota being one of them. Should Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 8 o'clock, coming up after 8 o'clock, we're going to talk about whether or not the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, is liberally biased. A report from the BBC raises that question anyway, and we'll talk about it with our own media watcher Dave Berkman coming up after 8 o'clock. Talking about the idea of performance pay or merit pay for teachers, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, an idea that is gaining in popularity, according to our guest, Alan Odden, a professor of educational leadership and policy research at UW-Madison. And our next caller is Bruce in Madison. Hi, you're on the air. Bruce, are you there? Bruce is not there, so we'll go to a different caller. We'll go to Vivian in Milwaukee. Hi, Vivian, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. And I would like to pass on the experience of a friend whom I've known for many years, who is a teacher in the Milwaukee system. She's very enthusiastic. She's received honors from NASA, Teacher of the Year. She has the national certification for teaching, and that's very difficult to get that certification. She sends out emails to friends periodically, and here is her beginning of summer. And I'm going to read maybe six sentences.
All right.
Okay, summer is here as of the 14th of June, and I am so happy school is over. It has been one long year, but quite a different year from last year. What a difference a year makes. Wow, I did not get hit once this year.
In terms of being hit by a student.
Hit by a student. Mm-hmm. There are important things, and I guess that is one of them. My leg still bothers me a lot. Though, where I got hurt last year, and I'm going to have to go to a specialist and have been seen about it. But still, I did not get assaulted this year, hooray. Mm. And I think we need to address many of the issues that our teachers face. I think we need to address learning styles, the students who can learn through music and dance rather than through sitting and reading, the many so-called frills or the things that get budget cuts and get cut off so that the reading and math can be supported. I think we need to think about classroom sizes, classroom conditions.
Why don't we just, Professor Odden, pay teachers a lot more if they are working in the kind of conditions that the teacher that Vivian described is working in?
Well, you need to do two things, I would say. Number one, first and foremost, in any school, the administration and the faculty needs to create a safe and orderly environment and have a school be secure and people protected from assaults. That's the bottom line. That trumps any kind of pay or anything else. So that's number one, and that's kind of from a lot of research as well as practical knowledge. Secondly, yes, this is, the issue that Ted raised earlier. Provide incentives for teachers to go into tough schools.
Mm-hmm.
That will help. But we actually conducted a study of teachers or young people in teacher training in the Milwaukee area, and we asked them what it would take for them to consider a job in the Milwaukee Public Schools, which would be a more difficult teaching context. And they said, fine, a salary incentive would be okay, that would help. But they even placed an effective school and a good principal above a salary bonus. So I think what the message there is that, is, and I think it links with this comment by Vivian, is that you need a school that's led well and that's safe and orderly, and at least short and medium term is effective as the precondition for providing any kind of incentive, either to work there or for improved performance.
Thank you, Vivian. Dave in Stoughton is with us now. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Just a quick question, Professor Odden, and I missed the first part of the show today, but I'm wondering about the testing that's involved with the merit pay, basically trying to mitigate the issues that students come to schools with so that teachers that are already in high-performing schools would then perhaps continue to get paid the highest salaries. So I'm curious, how is the testing nowadays focusing more on growth, or is there a movement towards that direction?
There's not only a movement towards using growth scores, but that's what almost all the plans actually use. There are a variety of ways of measuring growth, but almost no plan provide bonuses for absolute levels of performance. I think 99.9% of them provide the bonuses for improvements. And the one thing I would say there is that, this is a psychometric comment, that means that you need a test, whatever grade level you're testing, you need a test that has that has a high ceiling, that not a low ceiling, because if you have a low ceiling and a lot of your kids do well and the test doesn't allow them to do even better, you'd be artificially restricting the growth or the gain scores that you could measure. But yes, providing these bonuses on the basis of growth, so if you're in a tough school where initial performance is low, you also have a chance to kind of get the bonus, or if you're in a middle level or even a higher performing and you want to go even higher, everybody should be eligible, but only on the basis of growth. One other factor, just to kind of point it out, is oftentimes there's growth for subgroups as well, so it's not only overall averages, but it's students from low-income background and minority students also need to grow, so everybody in the system would grow.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of the teacher that Vivian just described, though. She's in a classroom where, you know, she's getting hit by students, and isn't a lot of this out of her control, whether there's growth in the student test scores or not?
Well, that's why I said that the precondition for any of this is a safe and orderly environment.
Yeah.
If there's not a safe and orderly environment and a kind of a well-run and well-led school, these other issues that are supposed to bolster kind of performance simply aren't going to operate very well.
Yeah.
So you're exactly right.
Nancy in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm having a little hard time hearing you.
We can hear you, so go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay. I have a couple concerns. First of all, I have a concern about whether or not teachers would be attracted to a traditionally low-performing school if this policy were instituted. That would be one concern that I would have. Another concern would be that there are some things that, you know, that you have already acknowledged teachers cannot control. And I'm wondering if this would be analogous to paying doctors and healthcare providers on a scale commensurate with how their patients improved.
Hmm.
It would be a similar type of thing. When a patient goes home from the doctor's office, you don't know if they're going to follow the protocol, the treatment protocol. And I would see that a school situation could be likened to that type of thing.
Yeah, Nancy, thank you. Why don't you listen on the radio, since you can't hear us too much on the phone, for Professor Auden's response. Hi.
Right. Well, we've talked about, you know, how to attract teachers to traditionally low-performing schools, and it's a combination of two things. It's providing good principal leadership as well as a salary incentive, because it's a tougher assignment. In places like Charlotte-Mecklenburg in North Carolina, Miami in Florida, a sub-district in New York City, and Fairfax County in Virginia are all places that have done both. That is, they've beefed up the leadership for the school as well as provided salary incentives for teachers along with a lot of professional development. And they've been able to, number one, recruit and retain the teachers, and the student performance in the school has risen. So I think we can do this in kind of complex ways. And again, on things that teachers can't control, again, we need to say if it's not safe and orderly, that's a problem and that needs to be fixed. I would, however, say, though, that there is a movement also in the medical arena to pay doctors and hospitals and health care plans for the improvements of the health conditions of the people in the plan, and sometimes driving it down to individual doctor groups as well as individual hospitals, so that And when they do that, they have to control for sometimes the nature of the people in the system. But these ideas of incentives to improve health care and to improve the health conditions of teachers or of people in the health system are developing in the education, in the medical arena, as well as these ideas in education.
We have just a little more than a minute to go in the program. Your, I guess, prediction for Wisconsin, then you think that the QEO and other issues are dealt with, that then maybe we'll see this kind of program in Wisconsin?
Not in the very short term, but because these initiatives are popping up all over the country, because they have political support, both Republicans and Democrats, and teacher and union support in many places, what I see is that these initiatives are expanding in numbers, they're expanding in comprehensiveness, and as that happens at some point, Wisconsin, my guess, will be part of that trend as well.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Alan Odden is a professor of educational leadership and policy research at UW-Madison and co-director of the Consortium for Policy Research and Education at the Wisconsin Center for Education Research. Thanks to Leo Duran and for producing this program, and to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.